And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Our guest Paula Harris with us. We're going to take your calls as well as we talk about UFOs and the late Philip Corso next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Paula Harris with us. We're going to take your calls as well as we talk about her work, conversations with Colonel Corso. And where do we get your book, Paula?
It's on Amazon.com. People can just get it from there. And, of course, I'm going to be going to Italy in June to release it in Italian in Rome. So for the people from all over the world, it will also be in Italian. And it's just part of history, UFO history.
And your conference in November, I will be in attendance. I love being there, in spite of the ties you make us wear. And
they're Jerry Garcia ties, they're collector's items. I think you have three of them already.
I do. It's amazing.
Yeah, and it's because I'm trying to make it fun, but I'm also trying to make it, and the color this year is red. So you can go where you want to go with that. And it's trying to bring international speakers together, George, with new information. I'm a journalist, so I want to bring all the newest stuff out.
All right, great. Let's take some calls here for you. Paula Harris with us, and let's go to the calls. We're going to do that for the remaining portion of this hour. We've got Kevin in Dayton, Ohio, to get things started east of the Rockies. Hey, Kev, go ahead.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Paula.
Morning.
Good morning.
Where I could find out some information. I was watching a Ancient Aliens one night, and they were talking about, in, say, 1968 in Whitewater, Indiana, which is where I grew up and where I lived all my life, that a alien craft had to make an emergency landing in a farmer's field, and Wright-Patterson sent trucks to haul it back to Wright-Patterson, and it's still there, supposedly in an underground tunnel. But I mean, this is a small community. I think I would have heard something about it or known something about it. I'll take my answer on the air.
All right, you got it. Do you know anything about that, Paula?
No, but if you read Clifford Stone's book, Eyes Only, his first crash retrieval was in Indiana. And when he went there, and nobody would know about this, he thought he was cleaning up a nuclear biological accident. And he said when he got to the craft, he said the four beings were dead, and they were four gray beings. And it was in 1969. So, And you may look that up. Indian Town Gap, Pennsylvania. It was Indian Town Gap. And that might be something you look at, because Clifford is going to be a guest in Laughlin. He's going to talk about all 12 crash retrievals. And that one there maybe Indian Town Gap is in Pennsylvania, because I don't want to make a mistake. But it was in the United States, and it was in the 60s. And nobody would know about that. They're not going to advertise that. And as you know, Kecksburg was very, very, very controversial, because they're saying that was some kind of satellite, and the whole city saw that happen. So you probably, I don't know where you got your information from, but do more research.
Paula, let's talk a little bit about disclosure. I was talking with Stanton Friedman about that, and I'm convinced that there will not be official disclosure. That's my take. Stephen Bassett thinks otherwise. How about you?
Well, I agree with you, George. Why in the world would the United States want to disclose and then admit they were lying all these years, and then admit also that they had artifacts? I mean, I don't think it comes that way, but it depends on how you define disclosure. What you're doing on Coast to Coast is disclosure. I mean,
right.
If,
well,
any
it's
more
disclosure
than that,
with people like you.
Do you feel that you need the President of the United States to say something? I mean, with all of the, the documents we have, with all of the, not only sightings that MUFON does, but for God's sakes, we have all kinds of whistleblowers coming out with what their involvement was. That's disclosure. I don't need the President to come out and talk about it. And they don't have any stake in talking about it. So why would they? Why would they? So no, I don't think it's going to be like that.
With the Corso book, why did you wait so long to publish it?
Two reasons. Because I had gone on to doing contact work in Latin America. My other book that just came out, All of the Above and Beyond, which actually is dedicated to you, All of the Above and Beyond, is all Latin American research. I've been in Chile, I've been in Argentina, I've been in Bogota, Colombia, and I'm really interested in that. And then I waited because Corso is so controversial that I didn't want to have to go through all of the skeptics, debunking, the negativity, that this man does not deserve. Everybody that was a San Marino with him really respected what he had to say and the fact they signed that document. So, and then it was a coincidence that it's 20 years after Roswell 50th. It's a coincidence that it's 20 years later. I wrote it. It's out there. It's history. It's finished. That's what I do. I just cover the story. And I want to go on to what I'm interested in, which is contact.
Well, and you have been interested in that for some time. Has anybody picked up the slack from people like John Mack and the late Bud Hopkins?
Not that I know of.
No, there's nobody there right now.
It's really, but maybe one of the reasons for that is that the phenomenon in that way is diminishing. Maybe that's one of the reasons. The other reason could be that people are having, what I call contact, direct contact, the kind that Carl Sagan talks about. You know, they're not having abduction, they're having contact. And that maybe isn't as exciting, but it is interesting because I do think we are affected by beings that want us to change our behavior. And, of course, that's what my conference is about, the evolution of human consciousness, to grow up. Because they're looking at this planet going, are these people ever going to grow up? They're doing the same thing they were doing in World War II. And so I have my own, this is opinion. There's a difference between journalism and opinion. This is the opinion part of Paula, is I think they're frustrated with the way that we're carrying on here in this planet.
Well, if they're frustrated, they're very patient because I wouldn't put up with this planet based on what I've been seeing if I were them.
Well, I think they probably are going to give it a couple more years and then just go home. Why would you hang around?
And just leave us?
Changes.
I don't know. I would have said shape up or ship out, Earthlings, because if you don't, we're going to take care of this planet the right way. And, that's what I would do if I were them. I'd start cleaning house.
Well, that's a possibility. This really is a great discussion because anybody that's watching, and I always thought they were kind of cosmic anthropologists, are going, are they kidding? They're going down the same road. They never learn from history. But, there are people out there, there are wonderful people that have become more aware and are using consciousness. I mean, I love what my colleague Grant Cameron does. He's an amazing researcher. He's gone into the consciousness field and also Colin Andrews. And really, I know that's the bottom line. It's grad school. Consciousness is graduate school. If you understand that you really have nothing in common with an ET except that he's alive and you're alive, that's it. That's it. He's conscious and you're conscious. So, but he's a conscious in a different way. So I really, that's my bottom line for what I'd like to learn.
All right. Next up, we go to Mike in West Palm Beach, Florida now with Paula Harris. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, how you doing there? Yeah, I have a little theory, of course, about the reptiles, right?
Sure.
I think it's got to the point, you had a guest on a few nights ago about this.
Last night, yeah.
Mr. President is one. So a documentation on it, shape-shifting, it's on the internet. Another one, another nice reptile is that slimy one in Moscow called Putin, all right? Now, in the beginning, they both loved each other. Then something happens in Syria with the nerve gas, and Mr. Trump, Mr. Lizard, gets very upset. Why? Because we are food supply to them. What the slimy lizard in Moscow did was to cross the line by using nerve gas. He is contaminating the food supply. You cannot eat. They cannot eat us if we're loaded with nerve gas.
Interesting theory. What do you think of that one, Paula?
Well, I really don't get into politics, but it's an interesting theory. I'll say the same thing you said. But I remember the famous words of Monsignor Balducci. He said this planet was an experiment in being independent. In other words, it's a consciousness where it's not a collective consciousness. We do what's good for number one. And so if we do what's good for number one, we know the difference between good and evil. And I don't think they need to be aliens to be evil. I think they're bad choices. I think people make bad choices. So, yeah, so it's an experiment in free will. You get to choose. And I don't know if we're a successful experiment in free will, because we certainly don't do what's good for everybody else. We are not our brother's keeper.
Let's go to Howard in Vancouver, Washington, west of the Rockies. Howard, you are on the air with us.
Hello, George and Paula.
Hi, Howard.
Yeah, let me smooth out a few of my scales here.
All right. Your reptilian scales.
Yes. Huh? I wonder, Paula, if you could confirm something for me. When I read Philip Korslow's book, the day After Roswell, he talked many times about his commanding officer, General Trudeau. Now, what I was wondering, I suspect that General Trudeau was the same general who was the architect of something called Project Horizon in 1959.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was a project to build a military outpost on the moon. And it was incredibly ambitious. It was going to require something like 120 Saturn V rockets to be fired from Brazil, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just wondered if this was the same general we're talking about.
Well, you know, yeah, and he talks about Project Horizon, and, you know, we don't know for sure what's on the moon or what's on Mars. We don't know for sure if people are successful there, you know, so I can't answer whether that really happened. But my opinion is that there are a lot of secret programs where there probably is stuff on the moon and stuff on Mars that we have no idea about, because many, many years have passed. And if that's what they intended on doing, and I'll go back to the 1950s, it could have been carried out in a secret way that we would know nothing about.
See, a lot of people think when we stopped going to the moon publicly, we kept up privately, and our program now is magnified tremendously. I guess that's a possibility, Paula.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I interviewed one gentleman in one of my books who said that his father worked on a deep space platform in 1950. And you know, so I'm looking at the date, 1950, for God's sakes. And I know that, you know, I was told in Italy that Marconi was working with the Vatican in the 1930s, and they had contact in the Amazon desert. So, you know, all of these things, you know, aren't going to surprise me. It's just all kept secret, because you would have to change the whole entire thinking of the planet if the real truth came out. That's why I don't think there could be formal disclosure. What you have to do is what you're doing right now, is just talk to the source, the people, whistleblowers, and so forth.
Our first-time caller, Joe in Texas. Thank you, Joe. Go ahead.
Hey, George, Paula. Great show tonight.
Thank you, sir.
I just had a quick theory, and I just want to go just over this really quick, and I'm going to try to be brief. Just stay with me on it real quick. And this was just a thought that I've had for many years. So humans are designed to be born, age, massively reproduce at a certain age, basically only live to be a certain age. We're a warring, we're a bombing, we're, you know, we destroy. We're basically designed to be born, reproduce, and then die. And I always thought from the disclosures from Bob Lazar out there, when he talked about the aliens called us basically containers. And I always wondered, I wouldn't think that it was containers, say blood or bones or whatever, but possibly the soul. Is it possible that a race came here, designed humanity to basically grow the soul. Maybe they can clone themselves, but they can't give it that spark, that spirit, that consciousness, that touch. And that's all that we're here to do. That's all that humans are here to do, is basically grow the soul. After we pass away, they either harvest it or reap it somehow. And it just seems like an interesting concept. Maybe that's the whole premise of why we're on this planet. Anyway, great show. I just wanted to throw that out there, and I'll listen off air. Thanks, guys.
Great comments, and that's very possible, Paula.
Well, you know, that's a great comment. However, would you want anybody's soul who's in either the political or the military here? I mean, working around, would you want anybody's soul there? What would you want that for? I don't espouse to that theory, in that I think this is more of a choice. It's a way to grow. In other words, you're reincarnated here because you have free will. You can choose between good and evil. And I've got to, that's what Balducci said, and I miss him too.
He was great.
You know, you have a choice. He was incredible. And he was very intellectual, and he'd say, you have the choice every day of good and evil. Nobody did it to you. You make these choices, and according to these choices, you grow in consciousness. You grow in a collective. I believe that some of these beings aren't doing that. What they're doing is they have a collective consciousness where they do what's good for everybody, and they're watching this experiment in free will to see if these people here on Earth can get together, or if they're, you know, stabbing each other in the back to see if free will works, because you have a choice.
Has anybody stepped up to the plate and replaced Balducci at the Vatican?
No, nobody that was that courageous. I mean, we always had Father Funes, but he was the Vatican astronomer, and basically positioned the Vatican in case they were caught off guard with something. But no, not really. But I do think this current pope is a good example of very wise kinds of decisions. I mean, he doesn't seem like a politician as much. So, you know, we just have to look up to people that we admire and try to be like them.
In terms of Philip Corso, if you had to categorize one major thing he's left the field of ufology and research, what would that be?
The truth. The truth. And that's exactly why I want to do, I would like you to interview Clifford Stone on stage two. These people were the original people that worked in these projects. It's not a third or secondhand or a gossip or internet. These people really did what they said they did. And we need to get the original people who have the courage to step up. Of course, they all risk their lives. I mean, a Gary McKenna.
And careers.
It's talking about hacking the NASA mainframe to find extraterrestrial astronauts. Not extraterrestrial, but astronauts that have an assignment outside the Earth, he's risking everything. I mean, these people risk.
Well, and they're heroes, as far as I'm concerned. We're going to come back in a moment with Paula Harris, and we're going to take final phone calls here as we talk about conversations with Colonel Corso. Okay, welcome back to our final segment. George Norrie here, along with Paula Harris, and your calls as well. With your conference in November, Paula, what are you trying to accomplish? Because you've done this year in and year out. You do not stop. Is it just to get news out, information, the truth? What's the goal?
The goal is to bring international people over, because this year we're bringing Hakan Aktagan from Turkey, who has the most incredible film footage, and Sisto Paz Wells from Peru, with Enrique Villanueva from Peru. And then the title, I always put it under a theme, is Time for Truth. And that way, you know, we will, for the first time, bring Clifford Stone on stage, and hopefully you'll interview him about the crash retrieval, the details, because he's willing to talk about the details, because he interacted, especially in Vietnam, with live, and he recovered, you know, dead aliens, and they were not all from the same race. So, you know, we need to get these whistleblowers out there. We need to get the source out there. And it's all new information that, and I hope to inspire people to study this like you would a university course. Because in studying this phenomenon, instead of just, you know, studying one thing like crop circles or abductions, when you study the whole thing and you get the international view of what's happening. And just to tell you, when Jaime Maussan shows film footage, the last year's film footage was mostly from Syria. So does that tell you something, that the UFOs were over Syria that he showed, and also over Russia? The people get new information, but it's really hard on me because I have to bring them from other places. In the case of Cecil Paz-Wells, I need an interpreter. And it's also fun. I mean, you're going to be at the cocktail party, and everybody wears red. And
oh, it's red this time. It was green last time. All right.
It's red. It's red. You have to get a red.
And folks, if you don't wear the colors Paula picks, she gets really upset. So you gotta do what she says.
Massive red people. But it's the fun part. And people have their picture taken behind the Hubble telescope images.
Oh yeah, that's great.
That we put up, beautiful images. The conference is very classy in that it's not like entertainment with little statues.
No, you're serious about this stuff.
Yeah, I would like to speak to the scientists that found the seven planets. The seven inhabitable planets. I mean, I want to know the latest of whatever's happening out there so that we can give it to the outside world and they can start connecting their own dots. Our job is just to do the job, not to have an opinion. So I'm hoping people keep their mind open and want to study this, and it's pretty serious, and really happy to have you there with us.
All right, great. Looking forward to it. Let's go back to the phones now. Calvin is truck driving in Alabama. Good morning, Calvin. Go ahead.
How you doing tonight, George?
Good. Thank you.
I love the show. Love listening to it every single night. I actually going to try to make this real quick. I had a comment. I wanted to tell you something I saw, and I had a question that you may have already answered, but I'm not 100% sure.
All right.
My comment was when your guest was talking about people coming and they was coming to visit with us and everything. I have my comment on that is they might be looking at the fact of we are still animals in the sense of we do have primal instincts and everything. We fight amongst ourselves because it's in our nature. It's in every animal's nature to be able to do so. The thing I saw last night I wanted to say about was I was driving down by Birmingham. And I saw a real bright flash of light, and I looked on the weather to see if maybe I wasn't heading up into a storm, and I couldn't find anything. And so the only thing I could think of was maybe it was something that had to do with weather or possibly a UFO itself. And I thought that was kind of cool because it was a UFO that was my first time seeing one. And my question was when I kind of caught on to the last little bit part of talking about the moon, my question was, has anything ever come around about anything on the moon itself? Because I had heard a story and I remember reading up on it and stuff about meteors and comets and stuff. They hit the moon and that the moon rings out like a bell, which indicates that then in turn the moon is hollow. And that part of the reason why we've never been back to the moon is because they did find alien life had put forth some sort of base on their own on the moon. And that being said, he was basically kind of easily but harshly warned, don't ever go back to the moon. There's nothing for you here. And if you do, there's going to be a problem.
Those were the rumors, Carl, we have heard as well. I'll interject and we'll go to Paula. Ingo Swann, the late remote viewer, claims that he, in his book Penetration, looked at the far side of the moon and saw structures, artifacts. Who built them? Well, that's just about anybody's guess. What do you think, Paula? Do you think there's really something strange on the moon there?
This is so funny. You took the words right out of my mouth because I read Penetration and I was fascinated. So I went to see Ingo Swann because I need to go get it from the source. And I caught him as he was walking. out of the door, and I said, Ingo, you said that there's non-human intelligence on the dark side of the moon. Is that what you believe? And he said, yes, and he turns around to me and says, also on the light side.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, yes, he's telling the truth. I mean, I absolutely, and from my interviews with whistleblowers, I've been told that the moon is an artificial satellite placed there. you know, that it's, I don't know whether it's hollow or not, but it's an artificial satellite. And I think there's, you know, if those astronomers that will not report this that are watching the moon, there's a lot of UFOs that, you know, that fly by the moon's surface. I've seen some of this film footage from Europe. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of activity on the moon. And I think that truck drivers and pilots are so lucky because they're out there and they can see UFOs very easily where we're sleeping in our houses and we don't take the time to go out and do CE5s like I've done with Stephen Greer.
And, you know, Paul, if you don't watch it, China's going to get to the moon and they're going to surpass us. They're going to keep going.
Well, I agree with you 100%. Yeah, I do, because all of the countries are interested in space. And I don't know what to say, because I don't know what's behind the financing or the non-financing, but I really admire Elon Musk, SpaceX, mm-hmm. of course, Branson, Virgin Galactic with Burt Rutan, who have a spaceport down in Roswell, who are selling near Roswell, who are selling tickets for $250,000. Ashton Kutcher just bought one. You know, I think you asked about disclosure. If you're going out on these commercial flights, you're going to see UFOs, and maybe they can't keep the general public quiet.
George in Wisconsin is now with us. Go ahead, George. Good to have you with us. Hey, George?
Yeah.
There you are. Nope. Well, have you checked that line there, Tommy? Let's try Paul in Jersey City, New Jersey. Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Good morning, George. Buongiorno, Paola. Che dice?
Buongiorno. Buongiorno. Come va?
Bene, bene. You are touching on so many things. I have one question to ask in particular, Paula. Now, you lived in Italy, in Italia. In 1932... Mm-hmm. There was a UFO crash. I think it occurred near Torino. I'm not sure, but I know it was covered extensively by Corriere della Sera. Have you ever looked into that, number one? Number two, there were many incidents before that, particularly during World War One. There were strange craft that were seen in over Italy, over France, over the U.K., my father was in both conflicts, the First and Second World War, and he said that this was well documented at the time. I think they occurred in 1915, 1916, and all through the First World War. But in particular, that one incident in Italy in 1932, because I believe Mussolini himself went there to investigate, and he said other countries have nothing to fear from Italy, but they do have something to fear from people from another planet.
Wow, what do you think of that, Paula? Have you heard of that?
Well, I never. Yeah, I. They're called the Mussolini Italian X Files, and our MUFON person, it's the Centro Ufologico Nazionale. It's called CUN. Roberto Pinotti came to the X Conference in Washington D.C. and talked about that crash. He talked about Mussolini. Look, Mussolini and Hitler both, if they're going to have crashes, they don't care about what's inside. And neither does, I think, the United States. They care about the craft itself. And so when Pinotti did the presentation, he showed Mussolini's drawings of the craft that they're trying to copy. That is what they're interested in, the actual technology. So, yes, go look up on Internet Mussolini's X-Files and you'll find it.
And Cheryl Jones, former CNN anchor person, she's going to be there at your conference, isn't she?
Yes. She and Don Schmidt are my hosts. I have 9 men and 9 women as guests. You know me. I have to have an even number of men and women.
Don's a great guy. I was with him taping a TV show last weekend.
Yeah, and Cheryl and Don are my hosts. And a man and a woman. And of course, Don will do a presentation. I think he's got a new book on Roswell, and they're good friends. I mean, they're people that have been in the field and, you know, really want to bring this forward. And it's 3 days, and with 18 speakers, it's a heavy load for me to take on.
That's a lot. It really is. Let's take a few more calls here, Paula. Walt in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Hey, Walter, go ahead.
Hi, George. It's good to be on with you again.
Hey, good.
Well, I guess the first thing I ought to do is confirm the fact that Indiantown Gap is indeed in the state of Pennsylvania. It's about 70 miles west of where I live.
It is. I checked on it. It is. I'm sorry. I thought it was in Indiana, but it's in Pennsylvania.
All right, well, I'm glad he caught it. Go ahead, Walter.
Well, George, you know, I'm your resident agnostic, and my agnosticism extends beyond religion, you know, into the UFO, the whole genre. You
sure.
know, I think the ufology has become like a religion to some people now. George, it all started supposedly with the crash in Roswell in 1947. And I've often asked myself that if beings existed that were that advanced that they could overcome the force of gravity, how could they have possibly fallen out of the sky like a lead balloon? It just doesn't make sense to me.
I ask that question, Walt, all the time to guests and what happens. And the explanation I get is that there was an incredible electrical storm that day. And somehow that craft got all screwed up. Paula, do you hear that too?
Yeah, and I reported out of Roswell, and the storms are horrible, terrible electrical storms. And by the way, the first crash was on August 18, 1945, in San Antonio, New Mexico. And there were two witnesses, and actually the mark of the UFO is still there. It's 13 miles from the Trinity site. And there was a huge electrical storm that day, too. So besides the portable radars and that they used to have, the radar system interacts. What happens is maybe there were like 300 craft and one had an accident, or the other thing is they're shot down. And so we have to look at the number that are shot down. So it's not about being advanced. If Colonel Corso said that was a clone that was flying it, that he was really worried about who created the clone. So it's not that it was like a little biological entity. It's not that it's thinking. It's a machine. And that's what he told me. And he said, we were worried about who created them because they might look like us and walk the halls of the Pentagon. So when he said that and it came out of his mind, then I had to pay attention to that phrase.
Paula, as we wrap things up with just about a minute to go, tell us about the book, where people can get it, your website, and your conference coming up in November.
Well, the conference is called Time for Truth, Living La Vida Loca, which means living the crazy life. And it is in Laughlin on November 10th through 12th. The hotel is very reasonable. It's $39 a night. And it is, the website is www.starworksusa.com. The book you can find on Amazon.com. It's called Conversations with Colonel Corso, a personal memoir and photo album. It's got a lot of photos in it. And I will be in Europe the month I'll be in Italy and Spain the month of July doing more research.
All right, Paula, you take care of yourself. Paula Harris, one of the great UFO investigators of our day. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burleson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.